Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, evolving your passions. We push what technology can do so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com/welcome to now. Are you in contact with Rogers? Anything like that, Coach?
The Rich Eisen Show.
I reached out to him. You never want to see that.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
What's it going to be like when you see Davante Adams?
Oh, man, that's a tough one for me. It's always hard when you see a guy of that caliber go to another team.
Earlier on the show, Buccaneers quarterback Baker Mayfield. Coming up, Fox Sports college football insider Bruce Feldman. Actor and comedian David Spade. Plus, latest news and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. College football is upon us once again, as Bruce Feldman will join us in hour number two, this being that right in the middle of this hour, his usual Wednesday spot, talking about everything, and with Coach Prime having lost two in a row and the heat, if you will, dying down a little bit from the 3-0 Colorado start. I think this is where everybody's kind of just looking around saying, what else can we talk about? And there's a lot to talk about. Baker Mayfield on in hour number one went complete horns down in his conversation.
Wow. The horns are with back.
Well, the horns are definitely back.
The horns are back.
And Bruce writing about Texas being back and the number of times you hear Texas back. This one, it does appear to be the case.
Yeah, it feels different.
It does feel a little different.
Yeah.
And beating Alabama will give you a sense of feeling better and different. And so Bruce is going to join us to discuss the Red River shootout that, by the way, Baker, I was told Baker wanted to talk about something he's doing with Vince Young for this. And I said that, and he goes, yeah, I don't want to talk about Vince. Horns down. I'm like, okay. Again, he woke up dangerous on his own sponsors. So
he does what he wants.
David Spade in studio, hour number three. And week five upon us as well in the NFL. I yesterday gave you my top five list of most disappointing starts of 2023. And speaking of feeling different in the way we just said, you know, it feels different for Texas that it does appear they do look back after all the years of everyone saying Texas is back and they wind up with 3-4 losses on the season anyway. It just feels as if the Bengals are in trouble. A team that has started 0-2 previously, before, and in recent years, then they make AFC championship games. This one just feels different because of the way that Joe Burrow looks. We have a set of eyes. We have a set of eyes, and I tweeted out during the Monday Night Football game against the Rams, their lone win to this point. Hey, Joe Burrow looks like a shadow of himself, and that's a shame. Now, he did win the game, and Ja'Marr Chase had his best game of the year. And Burrow was just limping around and somehow got through it with Aaron Donald in his direction. Not so against the Titans. I honestly thought that win against the Monday night, Monday night against the Rams would catapult them. That, okay, they've now turned the page, but they're now two games under 500 again. And going into Arizona, this is beyond losable for this team.
I think I'm gonna pick Arizona. They've just looked better.
They have
more consistent, I guess.
If you were to choose the team that's looked better, been in more games, has a quarterback that does more for his team in terms of affecting wins and losses and moving the football
just,
and
he's
looking
just mobile,
right? Yeah. It's Josh Dobbs instead of Joe Burrow, and I cannot believe I'm saying these words into a microphone, but it's a fact.
It's kind of wild.
The team that you thought would come into the season tanking for Caleb Williams, even though I keep saying there's no tanking in the NFL, you just keep removing players from your roster who can help you win. That's the way that you start pruning the tree so losses start growing on the branches. They're 1-3, just like the Bengals, and I would say the Arizona Cardinals have a better 2023 path right now towards getting back to 500 the way that they're playing than the Bengals, who looked like they were turning down opportunities to hit Derrick Henry back, which happens a lot in this league. And, you know, it's not my job to put my body in front of Derrick Henry, and I'm thankful for that. It's on the back end of my London trip. I'm going to see him, and I cannot wait. I haven't stood next to him since he showed up on our set in Miami at the Miami Super Bowl.
I think he's probably the same size.
I just can't imagine someone like that in pads and a helmet just whooshing his way downhill. But this team has not turned down physical play in the manner in that I saw them do it against Tennessee. So Kurt Warner, my Hall of Fame friend, who I am calling Titans Ravens in London on the back end of my trip that starts this weekend with Bills Jaguars on NFL Network, he was on What the Football with Susie and Amy, Susie Schuster and Amy Trask, get it where all podcasts can be acquired. He was on yesterday, and they asked him about this whole concept of just sitting Joe Burrow down until he's ready to play, that maybe the Bengals should have done, and that horse may be out of the barn. But his two cents on Joe just taking a beat to get back to the Joe Burrow as opposed to the ice-cold Burrow we're seeing.
Joe Burrow. I don't think they should be playing him. I think they should be sitting him for a number of reasons. But what matters to me right now is I want to know what you think.
If I was Joe and I could get out there and play, I'd be out there playing. I mean, that's the nature of what we do. And, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, we always say to ourselves, or we hear people say, well, you know, he should play if he gives the team a best chance to win. But if there's somebody else that maybe gives the team a better chance to win, then he should sit down, or the coaches should sit him down. I can tell you that I never thought there was somebody that gave our team a better chance to win. It didn't matter if I was beat up, I was on one leg, I was limping out there. That's just how we feel as competitors, is that our team is better when we're out there. It's not like we're playing 162 or we're playing 82 games. We've got 17 of them. It's one of those things you always have to leave it up to the athletes, especially those superstar athletes, that if they believe they can be out there and be effective, you put them out there and you let them, you know, give it a whirl.
Yeah, and see, as a sideline reporter, I look at that and I think, okay, with the Aaron Rodgers injury, the calf, the Achilles, it's so connected. I worry about, could that be something that's symptomatic of a greater injury? So I think to myself, well, maybe is it worth the rest? Is it worth the time to let it heal more effectively?
I mean, that's also the Kevin Durant way to look at it, right?
Yep.
Calf injuries can turn into something far more significant. When you're speed bridging all your way to Southern California to try and get that surgery. But that's the whole point about this, too, is that the time to have rested him is when Jamar Chase said we should rest him.
Yeah. Well, Jamar Chase was like, look, week five, we don't need you. Like, get red, get right, get healthy, come back for the stretch run, the rest of the season.
I know, and that's the whole point of this. And we had Zach Taylor on, too. You know, and he was asked earlier this week if Burrow was going to go in Arizona. He called it a strange question. Oof. Jake Browning is the backup. And, you know, there's absolutely no history there for this rookie. Out of Washington. That's what I'm saying. Could they have, this is the hindsight part of it, could they have gone 1-3 with Jake Browning?
Yep.
And then Burrow's coming out. Or Burrow could have easily tweaked his calf, and this is the way it's going to go. And we just got to see. It just doesn't seem like he's pushing off his lower frame to get the ball where he needs to get it. 1-4 losing to Arizona would be red alert, to use the phrase that's down there in the desert right now.
What's their schedule? I mean,
and then home for Seattle.
It's tough. I mean, worst case, you're looking at 1-7.
Because they're at San Francisco and home for Buffalo, and then a ton of nationally televised games. Early Thursday game, early week 11 game at Baltimore. They got to go to Baltimore in a short week, guys. At Jacksonville on a Monday night.
You see Houston on the schedule when it comes out. You're like, okay, cool. That's a win. Not the way they're playing right now. Not the way CJ Stroud looks. Looks like a top 12 quarterback in all of football right now.
In a matchup of two former Ohio State quarterbacks, right?
Any chance you get.
Poke, poke.
No, I'm not poking. That's, ask a Buckeye fan. They own him. They own Burrow. Yeah. Will they own him if he's 1-4? Suddenly you puff your chest out. Yeah, he's the guy. He's left, the guy that we sent to Ed Orgeron so he could become Joe Burrow.
Go Tigers.
Yeah, that's, you're right. Now, see, you do give me an opportunity. I'll keep digging.
Yeah. See?
But, you know, I can also understand.
It can go south quick after the bye.
I could understand what Kurt's saying, too. You know, hey, you're Joe Burrow. You're like, I'm not handing it to Jake Browning. What are you talking about?
And I get that, too. But at some point, it's long term. It's health. You just signed your big deal. You got your money. Like, get healthy for the good of the team. Long term future.
No way, man. Would love to know what that golf cart conversation between him and Mike Brown, the owner of the Bengals, where Mike Brown pulled up on that Friday of the Monday night win week to I don't know what that conversation was about. Like, hey, you all right? What is it? Everyone thought that was him basically saying, you're not playing Monday. And then there wasn't the difference between wins and losses, man. When after the win, we're like, okay. I was sitting here thinking, that's okay, you got through it on 1 week, so next week it'll be better. And then he'll be better, and then he'll be better, and then suddenly we won't be talking about the calf. And instead they get punked in Tennessee, and that's all we're talking about. And it's a conversation that Kurt Warner's chiming in on, saying, if I were him, I'd keep playing. But Susie's point is, you know, we've seen calves become worse. And when he went down in that July, I honestly did think we would be talking about it in early October.
Yeah.
Because I thought it was an Achilles. And then he comes back, and he has just not been the same. Mm-hmm. 1-3, Cincinnati, and then I'm sure your fantasy team's record is exactly that, or 0-4 if you have him as your starting quarterback. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the Rich Eisen Show. Fitz in Dallas, let's take your call. What's up, Fitz?
Hey now.
Oh my. What's going on, brother?
Hey guys, well, first of all, testing 1, 2, 3. I got the hang up last time from Mikey D because I had a bad connection. You guys got me all right?
You were good, Fitz.
Thank you. All right, so first of all, Rich, I noticed that you asked Irv this weekend on the pregame show for a Dallas Cowboy towel. Did he ever get that to you?
I haven't seen him since, but we can. I have a feeling he knows how to inventory that thing, Fitz.
Well, just put if you put me back on hold, I've got one here for you at my buddy's bar. He put one aside for you, so I'll have it shipped over to you. So,
well, here's the thing, Fitz, is you can send it here. I hope you don't mind. I'll give it to TJ because I think it might mean more to him.
That would be great. Is that okay? So that's why you were asking for it.
No, I wasn't asking for it.
He definitely wasn't.
Fitz. No.
Fitz, listen to me. I never crossed his mind. Which is,
hey, whoa. Excuse me.
Hey, I know.
Hold on a second. Fitz, I must put a stop for the moment in our conversation, and then we will return. I said on NFL Game Day morning, your actual name.
I mean, that is
saying
true.
You coined the term the Dolphins' greatest show on surf and turf. Unfortunately for you, they then got curb stomped in Western New York after I actually put that out there. So it's on you.
Also, I'm the mush.
And clearly, but admittedly, Fitz, when I saw the towel you were referring to, our great camera crew that we send all over the place to all the stadiums. Captured, I guess there were these towels in a luxury suite, and it was a shot that we had going to break. And I said to Irv, can you get me one of those towels? Glad that you caught that. I definitely wasn't thinking of TJ in that moment. But now that you're saying, no, I definitely wasn't. It was just a gag. But now that it's possible to actually get one, I never thought he would actually provide me with one of them.
I understand.
So, okay.
Yeah, and I'll bet he forgets anyway. So, yeah. Put me back on. I'll get it over to you.
That's
funny. One other thing, too. Yes. I'll get two more things. I apologize.
No, go ahead for it. It's okay.
Going back to the Jimmy Butler yesterday. Is it me or does he look like Terry Crews, the president on Idiocracy?
Oh, man.
What do you think?
Thank you, TJ. Maybe you're the only one that gets it. Sorry.
You get a towel for that.
Thinking, yeah, hold okay. up a second.
Okay, you get a towel for that.
Okay.
What else?
And just TJ, just to let you know, morale is high here this week. We, you know, we're going to get it. This third time's a charm.
Oh, boy.
But, you know, we got Texas OU this weekend here. It's a huge sports week. The Rangers won yesterday. We're back in the playoffs.
Yep.
So I see Sunday being an unbelievable game. We're going to take it. So,
thanks very much.
As always. Thank you, gentlemen.
All right, Fitz.
Put thanks, me back Fitz. On hold. I'll
put,
get that towel.
Okay, Mike, put him back on hold, Mike.
Hold,
good thing you said that because hold, you're like a little Braveheart.
Hold.
I think you have that drop.
No.
Yes, you do. It's in there. I had you cut that along. Don't worry about it.
I like Fitz's President Camacho reference there in Idiocracy because the hair is
good thing you said. It's a good thing he said put me back on hold because quick.
Boom.
Quick-fingered Mike Del, heavy-fingered Mike Del Tufo. The only person with quick, heavier fingers is the stenographer for the Bears in Chicago.
Clack, 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 right? Clack, clack.
We should do a...
I have it.
You
I
do?
Just got to edit it. I got to edit it.
Oh, okay. Don't worry about it. That was
we just heard horses grunting.
Yeah, that's it. I'm giving you the indicator that I have the drop.
Real quick here, and then we'll bring out Bruce Feldman. Real quick here. If the Rangers, hold on a second, if the Rangers go to the World Series, and they damn well sure can.
Yeah.
Okay. With having two Mets aces brought in and then have nothing to do with their playoff.
0.0.
Okay. Their playoff race. Well, they had playoff winning path. Okay. And would this be the immediate moment, cut the 5-year wait to put Bruce Bochy in Cooperstown, where he's going to go anyway.
He is going anyway, I think.
But just like, it, just basically.
Like how basketball coaches are still coaching, but they're in the Hall of Fame already?
Give him a plaque at the parade. If he brings the Texas Rangers to the World Series and they win it, with everything that went down this year, with everything that's gone down there, with everything that the Texas Rangers have, you know, always wilted in the heat of the summer. That was always the sense that they can't do it because they play in 100-degree weather or whatever the hell it is. Forget what he did in San Francisco, San Diego. That would be it, right? Both DeGrom and Scherzer, bring them both in. Neither of them are around for the playoffs. Yeah.
To be his fourth World Series.
Yep.
For the Rangers?
Winning it in two, you know, both leagues.
What's an odd year, right? The Giants always won an even year.
Is that what it was?
So.
Was that the, I forget what's a Saberhagen. Remember Saberhagen would win the Cy Young in even years or odd years and then would be terrible the next?
Odd for him, I think, because 85 started with Saberhagen.
There you go. There it is.
So, yeah, even years for the Giants, maybe odd number years for the Rangers.
Maybe. There you go.
There you have it. Honestly, would that be, like, give Bochy his plaque on the spot. He's amazing. He's incredible.
Getting it done, man.
He sure does.
Getting it done.
All right, we'll take a break right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Bruce Feldman, Fox Sports and The Athletic. Always fun to have him here talking college football when we come back. Rich Eisen here. If you love football as much as we do here and want to be in the game every day, there's something the guys on my show have been enjoying. Prize Picks Daily Fantasy Sports, the number one daily fantasy sports app. Brockman, tell us about Prize Picks and your strategy this season.
Rich, it's so fun and so easy. You know I love this stuff. You pick two or more players based on their stats and place their entry. It takes less than 60 seconds and just a few taps. You make your picks, boom, you're part of the action. And they have weekly promotions that can lead to big prizes. I love Prize Picks because it adds to my game time experience. I'm more invested in the outcome, and I get real-time updates. Like this weekend, you know, if I'm thinking about a certain Indianapolis quarterback going over his rushing yards, or maybe a Pittsburgh receiver getting more than his allotted catches, there I am, boom. I love it. I love Prize Picks. You should too.
If you're eager to test your knowledge and skills, play the game enjoyed by millions, and join the Prize Picks community of more than 7 million football fans who have already signed up. Visit prizepicks.com/pigskin and use code PIGSKIN. That's code PIGSKIN at prizepicks.com/pigskin. Prize Picks, daily fantasy made easy. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
Susie Schuster and Amy Trask present offbeat conversations and expert sports commentary as they ask, what the football?
when my family found out how long it took me to figure out why Charles Woodson named his wine Intercept, they said, there's a reason that you had trouble in school.
You know, not everyone knows, you know, when they think of a bottle of Intercept, they don't know that I play football.
Well, what I've learned is a smooth defensive back can make smooth wine.
That's what it's all about.
What the Football with Susie Schuster and Amy Trask. The podcast is available Tuesdays, wherever you listen.
Back here on our Roku channel stream, we will be joined with the radio audience in a matter of moments. Bruce Feldman from Fox Sports and The Athletic back here on the Rich Eisen Show. When's the next time you're going to Boulder?
I don't know. It may be a little, it may be a minute. Perhaps, yes. But I don't think the story's done. You know, the way they finished the second half, if you could ever lose a game and come out more optimistic than you went in, if I was a CU fan, I would be like, man, it's pretty good.
I think Dion told folks at the halftime speech moment, I'm taking note of who's coming out here and playing hard for the rest of the season. And they definitely brought it in the second half of that game, for sure.
Especially you're down two defensive backs. You're probably two best defense. You're certainly your best corner. And Travis Hunter and his son, who's one of the leaders of the defense, and you're going up against Caleb Williams and those receivers, you're not holding them down. But just the fact that they battled and, you know, USC looked just kind of worn out by the end of that game.
Which is interesting because they're supposed to, like, out-physical Colorado in the same way that Oregon did, you know?
Well, they didn't.
Yeah, I know, right? What does that mean? What do you take out of that?
I take that they're having a tough game this weekend against Arizona, and they have Jed Fish has done a really good job there turning that place around. And then next week, got to go to South Bend, and you're going to face a team with really good linemen.
If they play 11 guys. What? Nice. Yep. What's wrong? He's talking facts, and I get to talk facts too?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They'll be playing 11 guys.
Rich. So I'm sorry. If they're playing 11 guys, you were saying
it's a really physical team with a running back who looks like the Hulk coming at them. Yeah. And look, I keep thinking USC is going to get marketably better on defense. They're a little better than they were last year, but not as much. They haven't made the improvement I thought they would make, but maybe they will at some point. It's just the secondary did not look lost. Mm-hmm. And again, credit to Shador. I think Shador is fantastic. He, to me, is the biggest revelation of what's going on. The offensive line, I thought, was going to be even worse than it's been. It's not been great, but considering what, you know, all these patchwork going post-spring, it's Shador is like, there's a crew of, you know, elite quarterbacks in the Pac-12, and Shador is absolutely deserving to be in that group.
No kidding, because, I mean, you've seen it. I've seen it, watching it. Bruce Feldman here on the Rich Eisen Show from Fox Sports and The Athletic in his usual Wednesday spot. And you know, you always hear Heisman hype, and then you see what happens against the top opponents. And if the quarterback is not on the winning side, things sort of slide away on the Heisman talk. But just in terms of the next level talk, he is absolutely a guy that is going to play at this next level.
Yeah, he's got good size. He's super smart. He makes good decisions. He hangs in the pocket almost to a fault. His offensive line is bad. And he will hold on to the ball maybe too long at times, but he gives his receivers a chance, and he makes some super accurate throws. Like, he's got high-level accuracy. He's got great pocket presence. Clearly, he is a leader. You know, everything I've seen from him has been very, you know, A+.
Coach's son.
Coach's son, raised in it. And I think why I could see him not being like, this is a loaded quarterback class, obviously, with Caleb and Drake May expected to come out, and not just them. You got Bo Nix from Oregon, Michael Penix. You have a bunch of other quarterbacks. You may have Quinn Ewers in it too, from Texas.
Yes.
The difference with Shador is he could come out, but he knows he's really invested in the program in a way to a level nobody else can be, because it's his dad's program. And also, he knows we're going to get a bunch of dudes. We're going to have a big upgrade coming of talent next year. Why would I not want to be part of that?
Right. And a first round grade could come with something like that if he sticks around.
A first round grade might be there right now.
You think so, huh?
ask DJ to sit and watch him. And look, I trust DJ more than I would trust myself when it comes to stuff like that, because he worked in the NFL. But I think everything you look with him, there aren't many guys who have Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes arm anyway. It's like, how well does he see it? How accurate is he? Does he have presence? Is he tough? All those things he has. I mean, watch the throw he makes for the touchdown last week. It's actually good coverage. And Caleb is on the field, and it actually might be the most impressive throw of the game, in a game where Caleb made some wow throws.
Bruce Feldman here on the Rich Eisen Show. I asked Baker Mayfield in hour one, 1 month in, Caleb Williams gets your vote for the Heisman. Again, it's just 1 month in, and it's so rare back-to-back. Obviously, Archie Griffin's a name that keeps getting thrown around because it's been that long. Is it Caleb Williams' award right now, do you think, Bruce?
But we're going to see it when, what happens if they lose to, and I'm sure it won't be his fault. He has one turnover this season. Now, he probably could have had a couple of picks in, previous games, certainly at ASU.
Yes.
But he's playing an incredibly high level. He's putting up ridiculous numbers. I mean, some of these other quarterbacks in the Pac-12 are also putting up ridiculous numbers, though. So there's a lot. We're not even at the midway point. If you ask me, who do I think is going to win? I think Caleb is going to win it.
I do too. I mean, it's just, again, I know how talented the other quarterbacks are that we're talking about, even in his own conference.
Yes.
But I mean, he is a totally different cat than any of the other guys. Drake May, we could throw out all of these talented kids who can have terrific pro careers and maybe even beat this kid on Sundays. But I mean, there's no two ways about it.
Well, he also has another factor, because there's so much visibility, and one thing goes on with him is people look at his defense, go, oh, that's a terrible defense. And they've seen evidence. They didn't look good against Arizona State. They look really bad in the second half against CU. Mm-hmm. So people are going to go, hey, they may be a playoff team. In spite of all that, I don't think people, last year Washington's defense wasn't great. It wasn't even very good. Now I think it's better. But again, Michael Penix, people think, and rightly so, that Oregon has a good defense. They do. But that's, Bo Nix is a legit candidate. It's also where the Heisman is set up. There are voting blocks, right? So it's like all those dudes are on the West Coast in that same, they may split some of the pie, where it's not like there is no wow quarterback. Jaden Daniels is playing terrific at LSU, but they got two losses.
Yes.
Full respect to him. But somebody's going to get a lot of votes out of the SEC. They're all not going to be voting for these, five Pac-12 quarterbacks and split it up.
Interesting. Where do you think Caleb Williams wants to play next year?
If Washington was awful, I think it'd be go home and, but they're not, right? I mean, Sam Howell, who was a good college quarterback, I think they're seeing what's going on with him.
I can't imagine Washington would pitch away what they're building right now to go trade a million draft choices to go get Caleb Williams.
And
I don't even think it's going to be possible, because whoever wins the first overall choice, and by win, I understand it requires losses, but it would be a W get that. So all I'm saying is no one's going to trade that pick.
Let me ask you this question.
Yes, sir.
Whoever probably has the first pick probably would have a new quarterback, new coach.
To go along with Caleb Williams?
Well, I'm just saying you might be looking for a new coach. I think if you're that bad, if you are,
right?
Do you certainly make a run at Lincoln Riley and his offense?
We've been talking about that a million times off cameras. We might as well bring it out in front of the microphones.
Why wouldn't
Hell
you?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you?
Then if he doesn't come.
Would he come?
I don't know. I think at some point down the road, I think he will coach in the NFL. That's my own he's never told me that, but that's my gut, because I think he's a guy who I think is obsessive when it comes to X and O's and kind of stuff. And I think you see that translate in a lot of guys, whether it's Mike McDaniel or Shanahan or McVay, a bunch of guys, KOC, same thing, where I think he would be like, let's see how this is going to work now. But the one I wondered about was, who's on that staff right now is Cliff Kingsbury.
Right.
And Cliff obviously has had a lot of great quarterbacks. He had Patrick Mahomes. Now he's working or helping work with with Caleb, if you're an NFL team, do you look and say, all right, I know it didn't go great with the Cardinals. It wasn't a disaster. I say question mark.
No. But no, I know what you're saying. Obviously, that was a fire of some sort in Arizona. Might be dumpster or a different type of fire, but and I'm sure Kingsbury would learn from whatever mistakes he was involved with there. But in terms of a coach of Lincoln Riley's caliber and also resume, they know, in the same way that my current coach at Michigan knows, when you go to the NFL and if you pitch away a remarkable situation at the collegiate level, you want three things. You want full control of your roster. You want an owner that isn't nuts, that knows how to run an operation and is completely stable. And the third thing is the quarterback. So if Lincoln Riley does make the leap and somebody goes and offers him the Godfather offer to make him leave USC, he knows he's got the quarterback and he knows he's got control of the operation. As long as it's a spot that the owner is stable and his family wouldn't mind living, isn't that the end of the story? I mean, why wouldn't he do that if he wants to go to the National Football League? That's my two cents on that subject matter.
Yeah, and it depends where it is, because I know he has a young family and I know them, and I don't think it's a foregone conclusion, hey, we're going to up and move over here.
Yes.
I think maybe I'm being naive. I genuinely think that is a real consideration for him.
Of course it is. It's life.
Yeah, and look, I think you guys heard Rich use the word my current coach, as opposed to like, he will probably be a hot commodity.
Hey man, I'm living in reality here.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not living in La La Land. The last 2 years,
he's the one guy like who actually, he spent a ton of time playing in the NFL and he has a great record as an NFL head coach.
He sure does.
So
hell yeah. I mean, and again, I love him. I don't want Jim to ever leave.
But if he leads you to a national title this year,
then
you're patting him on the back and going, hey, you did everything.
Well, I would pat him on the back no matter what. I really would. And that's, I'm being dead honest with you, because obviously for many reasons, one, that he was my first quarterback when I went to Michigan when I was a freshman. That was his last year there. And so I have, and what he has done, what is happening right now, despite the last two winters with me on the razor's edge, wondering if he's coming back. That said, it would be great if it won a national championship and he wants to leave. I also couldn't blame him if, the McCaskies call him up and say, we just got the first and second overall picks because of the way everything worked out with our season and Carolina's season. How would you like to leave Michigan and coach here for Caleb Williams and Marvin Harrison Jr. and everybody else that we've got here? And you can bring in your general manager, with all due respect to Ryan Poles. What do you say no to that?
I don't know how he could.
That's what I'm saying.
Especially if he wins a national title, then it's like, hey, my work is done here.
That's how special this kid is. That's what I'm thinking while I'm watching him. You know, this is it's so rare to see somebody as talented as him in a program like USC, right? That has him and are playing significant games and can go to a college championship on a championship run, knowing that's the first overall pick of the upcoming draft. It's so rare. I mean, Trevor Lawrence was something similar to that.
I don't even think, I think Trevor Lawrence was a terrific quarterback prospect. I don't think Trevor Lawrence was this guy. I really don't. And I would say this, I can't even use the language. So there's a college coach I know who's fairly, many of them, very cynical. I mean, he was just raving about him the other day when we were talking about something else, in words that was like, he was like, he's amazing. And this is a guy I don't hear usually talk about college players this way.
Mahomes is the name that gets thrown out. I had again.
Patrick Baker wasn't this good in college.
That's what we've been saying.
Right. Yeah. And we asked Baker Mayfield in the first hour that, hey, if you'd vote for Caleb for the Heisman again, he says yes. And I'm like, well, Mahomes is the name being thrown around. Would you agree with that as an assessment? He said, absolutely. He didn't stutter. So again, that's why I asked you where would he want to play? Like, he's seeing maybe the landscape going on right now in the NFL. It certainly isn't college. I know what his dad said, right? Like,
I mean, look, you get to start your clock for the second contract. You know, you you can have injury insurance, but at the end of the day,
right,
you know, like you do run the risk. He's holding the ball for a while. He's extending plays. I mean, he did, it was a hamstring injury that really, hurt him in the Pac-12 title game.
Right.
But like, I think the people around him have to know if you do get hurt and it is a position where you're going to take hits, you know, is that something you really want to risk for another season, you know, where it's like, okay, you want to get to the NFL. Also, you'll have had 3 years with Lincoln Riley. Obviously, Lincoln's terrific with quarterbacks, but like, you know, is the benefit that much greater? I mean, that's a question for another day. But.
Bruce Feldman here from Fox Sports and The Athletic here on the Rich Eisen Show. You're going to Columbus, right? Big noon on Fox is Maryland at
undefeated Ohio Maryland. State.
Undefeated Maryland.
Yes.
What do you think? I think Maryland's going to bag somebody in the Big Ten. That's big game. They're going to put a big pelt on their wall by the end of the year.
Yeah, you might be right. And it's the one that sets up the worst is actually the one that I'm thinking will win the national title, the one you're pining for, and that's your alma mater, because it sits in the middle of Penn State and Ohio State. It's the ultimate trap game.
It's at Penn State, at Maryland, home for Ohio State.
Yeah, it's the ultimate trap game. But look, I think Maryland, I mean, Mike Loxley's done a terrific job there. They have firepower. Tua's brother, Talia, has played really well. Mm-hmm. What I think is tough for them is this is a bad matchup, I think, for Maryland, because, you know, any Giants fan looking, they have a dude who was like, went up against Marvin Harrison last year and did as good a job on Marvin Harrison as anybody has done. And now he's a first round pick in the NFL. He's not there. Ja'Quarian Bennett, super fast corner on the other side. He's not there. Their next best defensive back, who's still there, Tari, but still was kind of banged up last week. And this is not a team you want to be a little undermanned in the secondary. I know this because a couple of years ago, my crew did this game when it was in Columbus. And the night before, when our production meeting, you know, they had told us we're down three cornerbacks. I was like, oh boy, you know, and it's like, I think they're a much improved team. I still think this is just a tough matchup. Now, having said that, they gave Ohio State all they could handle last year in College Park.
So your assessment of the Red River Showdown, as you have written the words, Texas is back.
I've read Texas is different. Texas, I am couching myself.
Okay. So how is Texas different as opposed to being back? Because, you know, Texas is back, that is the phrase that kind of is infused with horns down, because how many times have Longhorn fans saying, we're back, and then they have 3-4 losses by the end of the year. So how do you assess this Oklahoma versus Texas matchup, 3-12?
On the Texas side, yes. I think why they're different is because they are much more physical on both sides of the ball in the trenches. I mean, in 15 years, past 15 years, they've had two O-linemen drafted. This is Texas, where like there are O-linemen everywhere, seemingly, in high school football. And to Sark's credit, he hired three of his best assistants, and honestly, three of the best position coaches at what they do are guys that had worked for Nick Saban in Tuscaloosa. Bo Davis is the D-line coach. Other D-line coaches think he's really, really good. The O-line coach, Kyle Flood, who you're from, you know, former Rutgers coach, did a really good job developing O-linemen back in the day there. And then for Nick Saban, and he has done a tremendous job. And those guys are going head-to-head every day in practice. So it upgrades them. And then the other one, Jeff Banks, is a special teams guy. A lot of people think he's the best special teams coordinator in college football. All guys that Sark ended up getting who have Nick Saban pedigrees. And I think Sark has... The coaches I've talked to who've either scouted Texas this year or have already played them just said Sark has really evolved to the point where he's always been a really good play caller, but now he has ramped up the physicality. He's bought into that. You know, like obviously you had Lendell White and Reggie back in the USC days, and they were so good.
Against Texas.
Yes, but now it's like, you know, you lose Bijan, you lose Roschon Johnson, who was a really good player and a total alpha guy for them. But they are running the football really, really well. I think they're a playoff team. I think they will be a playoff team. I think they're definitely the class of the Big 12. And Oklahoma, we had them a week ago at Cincinnati. Dylan Gabriel, the quarterback's a good player. He's accurate. I don't think they don't have the CeeDee Lamb. They don't have Hollywood Brown. They don't have the Mark Andrews type. They have good receivers. I don't think they have anybody like CeeDee is take the game over guy. And even running backs, I don't think they have a Joe Mixon or even a Samaje Perine. Their running backs are good, but I just don't think they have the high level skill talent. And to me, that, you know, they're a top 25 team, and they're much improved from the team that won 6-6, and they're better on defense. But I think this is a game where Texas will end up pulling away, because I just think they're the better team.
Do you see a scenario, last one for you? Was it a what's more likely, Chris, or a overreaction Monday topic where you said no SEC teams will make the playoffs? Which one was that? Didn't you say something along those lines?
It was just recently I said no three-peat.
But what about no SEC teams making the playoffs? Do you see a world at all like that? Because who knows, Georgia winds up with a loss and then the rest are undefeated, or you've got a wind up, they lose twice. They get tripped up in league play and then lose in the SEC championship game. Do you see any world like that?
They have struggled. You know, they struggled for a half. They were down against South Carolina. South Carolina is not that good. And they were, like I said, they were down. Then they pulled away in the second half. And then last week, Auburn, not very good. Now it's on the road. That's a tough place to play.
Of course.
And Hugh Freeze is a good coach when it comes to setting things up. And, you know, Peyton Thorne, you remember that name. Peyton Thorne, you know, he looked like, I don't want to say he looked like Cam Newton running around, but he ran the ball better than he ever has against him, gave them some problems, then Brock Bowers rescued them.
Well, he's just
unfair.
He's I don't know if tight end, obviously Kyle Pitts went 4. Bowers may go, I don't know. There's so many quarterbacks in the draft.
And there's Marvin Harrison Jr. in the
I know that.
He's been top 10 in every mock draft I've seen.
I would definitely think he is.
Well, here's the thing. If you're like drafting 6th and there's all these quarterback needs and someone's going to take Marvin Harrison Jr., you might get this game-changing player 6th, 7th overall. It's entirely possible if the draft board drops like that way in Detroit next year. He's unbelievable. He could start Sunday today, like right now, if it wasn't Wednesday.
He plays wasn't in college. Much bigger than, because he's not a big tight end. He's 6'4", 240, seems to play bigger. He runs exceptionally well. He took over the game last week and bailed them out. Having said that, so now they're going to get Kentucky, who's 5-0, and, you know, we were impressive last week, albeit against Florida. I don't think they're going to be sneaking up on anybody, you know, and that's a problem maybe for I think they'll get Georgia's best game. And they'll get it probably for 4 quarters. There's nobody in the SEC right now who should beat them in the regular season. Like Tennessee has, like Joe Milton has not looked great. I mean, there's been, you know, the most impressive thing I think he's done was he had a really long touchdown run where he looked exceptionally fast for being so big.
Well, that's what I'm just saying. Somebody trips him up. Let's say they lose to Kentucky and then they do play Alabama, who's got 2 losses, and then Georgia loses to Alabama. And Alabama sends Georgia home. And then suddenly, you know, you got Texas is undefeated, Michigan's undefeated, or Ohio State's undefeated, or Penn State's undefeated.
Or suddenly, Washington or Oregon or USC's
right, and then
undefeated.
Two Pac-12 teams get through. I mean, that's what I'm just saying. I know it's still
early.
I don't
think you get 2 Pac-12 teams and no SEC. I'd be really surprised if Georgia ended up as a 2-loss team.
That's what it would have to be for them not to make it.
I think so. I really, you know, like their schedule is not going to be impressive at all, you know, because you had the Florida-Tennessee thing where they've been, and we'll see what happens with Texas A&M playing Alabama this week. I mean, obviously already LSU has 2 losses. I think the SEC West is as down as it has been since Nick Saban was in the NFL, you know. That's a long time ago.
Great stuff as always, Bruce. Love our chats on Wednesday. Everybody check out Bruce this weekend in Columbus, Ohio, correct?
Yeah, Big Noon's going to be in Brady Quinn's hometown.
There you go. That'll be a lot of fun, and I'm sure Urban won't have anything to crow about being back there on campus. Good to see you here, sir.
Thank you.
Greatly appreciated. Check out Bruce Feldman, Fox Sports and The Athletic. We're back with Hour 3, David Spade in studio. Don't go anywhere.
Millions of listeners and thousands of 5-star reviews rave about the hit podcast series In the Red Clay, the unbelievable story of Billy Sunday Burt, the most dangerous man in Georgia history.
He was a whiskey man, bank robber, hit man. He was a murderer. He's also my father.
Seasons 1 and 2 are available to binge right now, and bonus episodes are coming soon. Imperative Entertainment presents In the Red Clay. Get the podcast wherever you listen.
Mike Del Tufo is standing at a microphone that's about, I'd say, 20 feet away.
Yep.
Looking right at Mr. Wonderful of Kevin O'Leary of Shark Tank. Go for it, Mike Del Tufo.
What happens if, like, something happens to me and 2,500 miles away, my family's there and they don't know? I could be sitting in the apartment alone, dead for days. So I came up with an idea for an app called Just In Case that would be basically you download it and you could check in with this app and other people could see that, A, you're alive still. You could basically be tracked with it.
Just to get the whole story before I completely eviscerate you.
Go ahead.
How would you make money doing this?
Subscription per month.
People are going to pay per month.
99 cents per month. Very cheap.
If your mom calls you for 2 days and doesn't get an answer, she's probably going to call the super and say, go check on his corpse. Like, think about it. They don't need 99 cents a month for that.
In theory, wouldn't you want, if it's something you don't have to do,
Mike,
other people can check in?
When you're dead, you're dead. Like, who cares?
How does the app know you're dead?
The app doesn't know you're dead.
You have to tell it you're not dead.
The app would tell you that you're not checking in. Every time you unlock your phone, it would ping, and you put people on a list that know that if, like, your mother's in Florida, she could be sitting in the house. You know that at least she's checked in on her phone. If you're their kid, you don't have to talk to him on the phone. You don't have to call him. And if it's a kid, the kid.
Why, if you think if you're worried if your mother's dead, why don't you call her?
Well, let's say.
Call your mother, Mike.
People don't call their mother and father live 2,500 miles
Mom,
away every day.
I just want to make sure you're not dead. Like, are you kidding? You should call your mother every day.
No. I'm talking about, like, all day. You don't know.
Oh, you want to know the exact moment your mother
died.
You
can check in. You know that they've actually. Exactly.
It's still a good
it's
idea.
Still,
I'm staying. One of my favorite segments in the history of our show. Back here on our radio network, the Rich Eisen Show desk I'm sitting at is furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Oh my gosh, we just showed the segment where Del Tufo is pitching an app idea to Kevin O'Leary, Mr.
Idea.
Wonderful of Shark Tank.
It already existed.
And then
no,
you
it didn't.
Just, you,
I find your
oh my gosh, it was, yeah. It's so great. It honestly, like, we turn 9 later this month. I think next week, right? Yeah. We turn 9?
No, the 6th.
Oh, is that right?
So what's that? That's Friday.
Wow. We turn 9 years old Friday. Top 5 segment.
Price like, is it, right.
I don't think anything. That was great, too, watching TJ on that the Price is Right on Live, which, again, is a latest example of me making sure I need to be as collaborative as possible here. Brockman's like, we should stop the show and watch it live. I'm like, we're on the radio. I don't think people are interested in it. And it turned out to be one of our best segments ever.
Very funny.
And so, you know, honestly, that's in the clubhouse. And then your app idea, you still to this day, you think
you
it's...
Got, first of all, here's the biggest issue with this.
Oh,
all right, real quick, in a nutshell, I only had to do it like 24 hours. If I had planned and had like... I would have brought visual.
Well,
aid.
You're talking said about. You've been working on this idea for years.
Yeah, but I'm working on it.
So you're saying you weren't prepared enough?
No,
I told you the day before, night before, like you
know,
were going to give
you
an opportunity to pitch your app idea that you've had for years to Kevin O'Leary.
I would have got an overhead projector like Al Davis. I would have been set up. You know,
another anniversary recently.
I wasn't prepared.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, and then, the planking. The planking was another fun.
That's not a bad one. But speaking of phone apps, in 29 minutes, all of our phones are going to go off.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
At
getting
once close. For, you know, the whole country's been told, be ready. Don't be scared. Don't be frightened. But everybody's phone, TV stations, radio stations, maybe this one you're listening to right now, the emergency broadcast system is going to pop in. And, you know, I guess FEMA's testing the national emergency system to basically say, hey, this is only a test.
We're going to be united as one.
Is that it's, that's what's happening?
I don't get those things.
I think
what do you mean you don't get those things?
You can turn those off.
Yeah, he doesn't care about
I don't want to be
you can't.
Yes, you can. Yes, I don't want to be interrupted by with something.
We you both can have it turn off on your phone?
Yeah. Yes. You can turn all these off.
Chris doesn't care about Amber or her Amber alerts.
But don't Amber you think, like, if there's an emergency, you'd like to know? Or
What you emergency? Want me to be, if there's an earthquake, I can feel it. Yeah. I don't need a phone buzz to tell me that an earthquake is happening.
But it's got nothing to do with that. It's got to do with some sort of emergency you have no idea, some sort of an attack that you'd like to get some sort of heads up on.
But like
you
what?
Do you want me to be like your emergency buddy where I'll text you, hey, man, I just got
an
alert.
Yeah, I got an alert. Something's going down. Yeah.
Rich, we get tsunami alerts in Redondo all the time. I sleep through them.
Or maybe how about this? Maybe about this. That you haven't adjusted your phone. Maybe it's the federal government telling you, we don't care about you. We've heard some of your takes on the Rich Eisen show over 9 years.
They're a Niner fan.
They're Niner fans.
The person running the emergency service is a Niner fan.
Yeah, and heard your awful Trey Lance takes.
He's not on the team anymore.
And suddenly, they don't care about you. Yeah. They're not sending screw you. We'll let 334 million people know. Not 334 not million and one.
It's fine.
You're on a list.
I don't want your alerts.
So that's what David Spade will be on this show. Just, literally, he's slated to be in this chair when this hits.
Love it.
So the question we were having before the show is like, do we just make sure it's during a commercial break, or do we count down like it's New Year's Rockin' Eve?
Yeah, we got to record this for posterity.
Well, I think we're going to just count it down.
For posterity.
Right?
Yeah.
What can we get for a ball that slowly drops?
Here.
As it's going down.
The magic cake ball. Here it is. This works. String. Will Chris Brockman find out about the emergency?
Yes.
Here we go. That's magic eight ball.
Hey.
It's odd. It says screw Brockman. That's odd.
I believe that.
As I see it, yes, it says.
Hey.
So
think about this. So there's going to be people out there who have burner phones and stuff.
Oh,
and
God.
You're going to be sitting at home and the burner phone's going to go off
people,
in the drawer.
Honestly, I've read some of these stories saying that there are people who have hidden phones. It's going to go off. And they don't, honestly, there are some people in 25 minutes,
someone's going to get got.
Is up.
Yeah. And I don't even want to get dark about it either. But also though, there might be people who this is kind of dark, but you might have a phone for safety purposes. You might be in a relationship that's not safe.
This guy,
you can get
huh?
deep with this.
You're
man.
Getting deep.
Go to notifications, go all the way down to the bottom to government alerts and turn everything off.
Is that right?
Really simple.
Well, maybe they're kind of dark.
Maybe the government's done that to you.
Yeah. I want mine to buzz.
Great. Does that mean I don't have to pay taxes?
Yeah, right. Nice. Good luck with that.
No. You still have to pay taxes.
Brockman, this is when we should have gone to the darkness retreat. We could have been in there.
Jeez. Oh, you think a buzz can't
find
you in
the dark?
Turn
off your phones or whatever. Yeah. I think we should make a thing out of it.
I'm turning my volume up. I want to be a part of this.
That sounds apparently, scary.
I know that.
When that goes off.
When we were kids and you're just sitting there watching TV and then all of a sudden it pops in. And you heard that, I would start freaking out.
Exactly.
Just waiting. This is a test.
This is a test.
This is only a test of the emergency broadcast system.
That thing was loud.
I'm like, dude, holy 3 Mile test. Island, it just happened. And I'm sitting there in Staten Island. I'm like, oh my God.
It's happening again.
Somewhere in my house, I have the old KTTV button because they used to have a button at each TV station. And they would test them. You would hit it, then it would go to the next station, then the next station down the line. I got the button, the little.
You did this?
The scariest.
No, I took it when they.
The most
the
scary
studio.
Technology ever made me as a kid is I'm at home by myself. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm watching The Shining. I think I'm like WHT. Okay, I'm watching The Shining by myself, and then all of a sudden, my parents' VCR that was set on timer, probably for Jeopardy, went right off, and I'm like, oh my God,
Jeopardy.
Something, I heard a click just by itself, all by itself. And I'm like, oh my God. Turned Staten Island 510 Harold Street into the Overlook Hotel on the spot. I was freaked out.
510 Harold
Don't go
Street.
In the maze.
That's where I grew up, sir.
Let's look at your house.
That happened to me watching Amityville Horror once. Never again.
Oh, scary.
So
movie.
My name in Van Nuys, California is Seth Harold.
Every Monday, Rich Eisen and Chris Brockman react to what's happening in the world of football on Overreaction Monday.
Dolphins, Final Four AFC team.
Oh, that is not an overreaction at all. I'm with you.
You're in.
I am in. The other three Final Four teams, if you were asking me to call
right
my
now.
Shot, this
right
is
now.
The Overreaction
call
Monday
shot,
podcast.
Call your shot.
Entertainment purposes only, unless I'm right.
Yeah.
Chiefs, Dolphins, Bills, Ravens.
Ravens. Final Four.
Overreaction Monday, the podcast, wherever you listen.